Thank you. The order of service this morning is the order of morning service beginning on page 5. Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto Thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against Thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to Thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring Thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given Thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for His sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by Thy Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of Thee, and of Thy will, and true obedience to Thy word, to the end that by Thy grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given His only Son to die for us, and for His sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on His name, He giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them His Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Our worship continues with the reading of the responsive introit as found printed on your bulletin insert.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live.
I will sing praises to my God while I have my being.
I will greatly rejoice in the Lord.
My soul shall exult in my God.
For He has clothed me with the garments of salvation.
He has covered me with a robe of righteousness.
As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress,
and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son,
and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning,
is now, and will be forever. Amen.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live.
I will sing praises to my God while I have my being.
To God on high.
Thank you.
Almighty God, you invite us to trust in you for our salvation. Deal with us not in the severity of your judgment, but by the greatness of your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah, the 25th chapter. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food, full of marrow, of aged wine, well-refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." Here endeth the reading. The epistle is from Philippians, the 4th chapter. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly now that at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Here endeth the reading. Please rise for the reading of the responsive gradual as printed on your bulletin insert. He will command his angels concerning you
to guard you in all your ways.
Bless the Lord, O my soul,
and all that is within me, bless his holy name.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find." And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." Here endeth the gospel. We now confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed as found on page 12.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated for the hymn of the day.
Thank you.
Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is taken from the Holy Gospel lesson, and our theme, the King and His Feast. Please be seated. My dearest brother and sister in Christ Jesus, when you have the wrong focus, when you start off on the wrong foot, when you read a parable of our Lord Jesus, especially this parable, if you start in the wrong place, you're going to end up in the wrong place. If you have the wrong focus, this parable will make no sense. As a general rule today, there are many across Christendom who may be hearing this parable, and they're hearing that it's a moral axiom. This is something that you have to do. That's the wrong focus. They've started off on the wrong foot. This wedding feast isn't about the guest. This wedding feast is about the King. It is His feast. It is His parable given to us so that we will learn and know who the King is, what He expects of us, and we also hear of His great grace and mercy. So this morning, we will not focus on the wedding guest. Oh, we will certainly touch on them. But rather, we will focus. We will get off on the wrong foot. As we will get off on the right foot, not the wrong foot, the right foot, as we discuss the King and His feast. So let's begin with the right focus. The King has prepared a grand feast. It's a wedding feast for His Son. His Son is being married, and the King has spared no expense. After all, He's the King. Who would refuse such an invitation from the King? He has sent out His gracious invitations. He has invited His people to come. Come to the wedding feast of my Son. Who would refuse? Would you? At worst, you may come just so that the King would see you. But at best, and this is the very best, by the way, you would go, if you would go, to the greatest feast ever. The entree, by the way, would not be an overcooked ham loaf. The band is not going to be a Garth Brooks wannabe who is singing off key. No, the food is the very best, the most delectable that there is. And the music is out of this world. By the way, it's the King's feast. So the King sends out His servants to invite His guests to come. And wouldn't you know, they refuse. The King, who is ever gracious and ever merciful, sends other servants with an even greater invitation. Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. Who would refuse? What kind of person would be unreceptive to such a gracious invitation, an invitation from the King? This is crazy. That's the parlance of the day. To say that something is out of whack is to say that it's crazy. And this is crazy. The people are refusing the King's invitation. The King's invited guest. They snub the King. They ignore Him. They think that their farm is more important. They think that their business is more important. They think that they themselves are more important. So they walk away from the King. And then it gets even worse. Those who hear the invitation decide that they're going to take captive the servants, and they're going to mistreat them, and they'll even kill them. You see, the RSVP, their RSVP, is not only no, but it's written in great big red letters by the blood of his servants, the blood of the king's servants. So the king is angered. If you were the king, wouldn't you be angry? You have extended such a gracious invitation. You've spared no expense. You've spent all your money, if you will. You have the very best of everything, but your guests refuse. They even kill your servants. So the king rightly sends his army, and he destroys those murderers, and he ransacks their city. The king then decrees that they are not worthy. Now what? What's the king to do now? Well, remember, he's the king. Remember that he has made his feast ready. He's not just going to throw up his hands and say, "Oh, well, my son, too bad." No, the king doesn't do this. He will not dishonor his son. The marriage has been arranged. It has been declared. There is no going back. The king will have his guest. So he sends other servants and he says, "Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find." No doubt that the people that these servants find, they are a rather motley crew. Not the kind of people that you would invite to your wedding reception. They would not be the kind of people that you would expect to be in the presence of the king. Yet the king has ordered his servants to invite all. So they do. The wedding hall is now packed with guests from everywhere. And as it was in the ancient Orient, the king spares no expense. He even has elegant wedding robes that he will dress his guest in. They are magnificent robes. After all, it's his son's wedding. The king has spared no expense. But wait, the king comes into the wedding hall, and what does he see? He sees a man who isn't wearing his wedding robe. He has received a splendid wedding robe. After all, he's in the hall. But what has this man done? The wedding robe that he has received, he has taken it off. And he has flung it away, saying, "I don't need the king's robe. I'll wear my own robe. I don't need this garment. I can come to the wedding feast on my terms." His appearance is disrespectful and rebellious toward the king. The king does not take this offense lightly. "Friend," he says, "how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" Oh, the king knows. The king knows what this man has done. It's a rhetorical question, and the man has no answer. He knows that he has cast off the splendid wedding garment. So therefore the king rightly commands his servant, "Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into the outer darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth." Remember, this parable is not about the wedding guest. It's about the grace and the mercy of the king. To make this about the wedding guest misses the amazing and wonderful point. The amazing and wonderful point is that the wedding hall is full of people from around the world, from every nation and tribe. He has invited everyone into the feast. And part of that feast, and as a part of that feast, you will be robed in an elegant garment that you will receive from the king. It's a free gift. You can't work for it. You can't buy it. It's It's a free gift given to you at your baptism. And as long as the feast lasts, which is eternity, you will be in the presence of the King, a member of His household, in fact, an heir of His kingdom. So let's apply this parable to us today. Let's apply it to the church. In the book of Revelation, chapter 19, the feast is called the marriage feast of the Lamb. It's a wedding feast. The Lord goes on to say, "Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." Here is your reason to rejoice, dear Christian. Today and always rejoice. The Lord calls you to His marriage supper. He has done all that is necessary for you. Rather than fill the fattened calf, though, who has He killed? His Son. He has sacrificed His Son for you. The Son must die so that you can be purified and so that you can be a holy bride. The King has raised His Son from the dead. He lives and is coming to take His bride, you, to His wedding feast, to your wedding feast. The King has announced His invitation to the saints of the Old Testament. And what did Israel do? They refused. They thought that they were the chosen ones. They don't need a wedding gown. They are the chosen people of God. Therefore, it's whatever they do, they can do, and it doesn't matter. So God sends prophets to them to tell them, "You must repent of your sin, or you will be cast into the outer darkness." And what does Israel do? They kill God's prophets. They blaspheme God by calling God a liar. They tell God that they don't need to repent. We are Israel. We are the chosen ones. They puff up their chest. They stick out their chin. And they rebuff God, saying, "We don't need what you're offering, God. We can do it our own." Enough is enough. God sends His army, the Assyrians, and He destroys the northern kingdom and their city, Samaria. Enough is enough. God sends His army, the Babylonians, and He destroys the southern kingdom, and He destroys their city, Jerusalem. Enough is enough. What Jesus is relating here is the coming destruction of Jerusalem. Titus and the Roman army surrounds Jerusalem in AD 69. And they starve the city to death. And then they destroy the temple. Just as Jesus said, not one stone left on top of another. The Lord does not lie. He does not tell a fib. When He says that He will do, He will do. The people have rejected God. Therefore, God now rejects them. They have killed His messengers. So therefore, their cities are destroyed. And it's by their evil actions, not the King's. Today, faithful servants of God, men whom He has called into the office of the holy ministry, are to publicly preach this same message, that you must repent. Repent of your sin. Come to His altar and receive His body and blood. Come and receive the feast, a foretaste of the feast to come. Remember your baptism, how you have been clothed in your baptism. Do not rebuff God. Do not cast off your baptismal robe, thinking that you're good enough, because you're not. And neither am I. Rather, we have been made good enough in our baptism, and we are kept in the one true faith. As you hear the preached word, as you hear the holy absolution, as you receive body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins and the strengthening of your faith. Dearly beloved, as you live your life, beware of the temptation to cast off your wedding robe and to go it alone. If you do such, you'll be walking the broad road that leads to destruction. The Lord will not be mocked. Remember that you have been clothed by Him, and that you are kept in the one true faith by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is He who brings you here to hear that your sins are forgiven. It is He who brings you here to receive body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins, the strengthening of your faith into life and salvation. This is not a game. It is death, and it is life. It is spiritual death, or it is spiritual life. Yet today you rejoice. You rejoice, for today you do confess your sins. And in your confession, God, who is gracious and merciful, does forgive you of all of your sins. He does tell you that He has good news for you, good news for each and every one of you. You have a place. You have a seat in the marriage feast of the Lamb. Keep on your robe. Keep doing what you're doing. Follow the Lamb. Follow your King, and He will lead you into His kingdom. And there you will be made an heir of His kingdom. So lastly, my dear brother and sister, in reality, because of the work of Jesus and what He has accomplished for each and every one of you, you are not a wedding guest. Oh no, you're not a wedding guest. You're actually the bride. And you are participating alongside the Son in the marriage feast of the Lamb that will be forever and ever. You're invited to your own wedding feast along with your heavenly bridegroom, Jesus. Yours is an everlasting kingdom. You will not spend eternity in the outer darkness, but you will spend it in the light of life forever and ever. You will not weep and gnash your teeth. Rather, you will rejoice and sing all the days of your life, forever, rejoicing in what your Lord has done for you, what your heavenly bridegroom has done for you, here at His cross, there at the empty tomb, and when He comes for you to bring you into His kingdom. The banquet feast is ready. Keep on your robe, dear one. Be resolute. Follow your King. Know that your King loves you, that He has forgiven you of your sins, that He is a gracious and merciful King, and that in the forgiveness of your sins, you have light and you have life forever and ever. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the offering.
rise for prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, who has prepared all things for our salvation, you did call us to the marriage feast of your dear Son, the bridegroom of our souls. We fervently pray that you would cleanse and direct our hearts, that we may not reject your gracious invitation, but willingly follow your word, and being clothed by faith with the garment of righteousness, obtain eternal life with all your elect. We pray, gracious God, that those who visit this congregation may find here hospitality that bears witness to the kingdom of heaven, and that, hearing the holy gospel, they would be so moved by the Holy Spirit to hear your invitation and to join us in the love of Jesus, who is our righteousness. Merciful Lord, we pray for our sisters and brothers in Christ, that strengthened by the forgiveness of our Lord Jesus, they would put aside all discord and strife and seek only those things that are honorable and praiseworthy among those who are of the household of faith. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we pray for our nation and leaders, whom you have appointed. May they execute their duties faithfully as they provide for the needs of all. We pray, Father, for each member of the armed forces of the United States and their families. We ask that you care for them and give them comfort during times of long separation. O Lord, our great physician, we pray for those who are ill or suffering. We especially pray for Esther Schweier, Jim McCullough, Joyce Lechner, Michelle Hill, Aubrey Art, Sean Mendez, Austin Art, the Reverend David and Barbara Bush, Ruth Becker, Barbara Wolford, Ryan Fiesel, Charlotte Davis, Maya Culla, Wanda Schweier, Waylon Steiner, Janice Patterson, Kenny Miller, Patricia Lee, Jeff Secor, Nikki Strait, and Megan DeArmond. Grant unto them, O Lord, our mercy, and make them healthy and whole. Comfort them, O Lord, that in the midst of their trials they would not lose sight of their many blessings, but would call on you without ceasing. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, who in holy baptism began your work in our catechumens and have given your blessing to their education and being instructed in your holy word of truth, we pray that you would strengthen them in heart and mind to continue in faith with joy and boldness, to be filled with your abiding presence as they prepared to stand before you to confirm the faith given unto them. Bountiful Lord, we pray for those who offer gifts this day, that from the bounties given to us by you, we would gladly give our first fruits back to you and rejoice in the opportunity to serve you all our days. We thank you for favorable weather, and we also ask that the yield we reap from the crops be for your glory, honor, and praise. Into your hands, Heavenly Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, unto thy church, thy Holy Spirit, and the wisdom which cometh down from above, that thy word, as becometh it, may not be bound, but have free course, and be preached to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve thee, and in the confession of thy name abide unto the end. through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. As I was standing in the pulpit, I noticed things, and I noticed something over here in the front pew. I'm wondering, why is that sitting there? See, my mind can do a number of things at the same time, Lynn. That may surprise many people, but my mind can do many things at one time. So I was wondering, what is in that package? Now I know. But in a moment. First of all, welcome to our visitors. We're very happy that you're with us. Please consider signing our guest register there at the usher stand. That'll allow me to send you a card, and if you wish to talk with me or discuss with me anything that you heard today, or you heard the invitation to come and join us, come and see me. I'd be happy, very happy to entertain that invitation. All the announcements that you see in the bulletin, I'll let those stand for themselves. I don't think I have anything else to add other than please note that this coming week, a little bit of a busy week, we will have our circuit meeting, which will be at St. Thomas, and then CWS and our catechumens are doing quite well, Mom and Dad. I have a very, very good class. You should be very proud of them. We're doing something a little unusual this year for CWS. I'm focusing more on Scripture and the large catechism, but don't worry, we'll use a small catechism too. But they're being very well instructed, and I have a very wonderful class. So thank you, Mom and Dad. And with that, Lynn, the floor is yours.
Blessings to you all.